Why is it advices radio, not advice radio?
Hey, what's up, guys? On this episode of Drugs and Stuff, we start out with steroids in the news. We've got a couple stories there. Then we go to your listener questions, and we wrap it up with a Dear Davey. So stick around. We're going to do all that right now. Welcome back to Drugs and Stuff with Dave Crossland. I'm Scott McNally. Our programming is brought to you by TrueNutrition.com. You could use our code ADVICES for some additional savings. Dave Crossland, we have steroids in the news.
Da-da-da-da.
I have music for it. I do.
I know you do, but you don't hear it because you don't play it. Well, you should play it when we're doing this.
Everybody at home... other than the live listeners, the recorded listeners, they just heard it right now. Production is spotless. Or as you would say, Dave, spot on. You like that?
Slick.
Spot on.
Yeah.
Spot on. So I just have a little news story here today. This is from Express. This is, I believe, a UK newspaper?
The Express,
oh,
yes.
Oh, The Express.
It is a tabloid gutter press type paper, but it is a UK paper, yes.
Okay, not only Express. We have a company here in the US called Express. They sell women's jeans, but I think that's a different organization.
Definitely.
Okay. Jeffrey Epstein, the headline says, Epstein driven to take his own life by steroid withdrawal. A top US pathologist has insisted. Now, they tie this into the UK. They say has insisted that Prince Andrew's pedophile friend, Jeffrey Epstein, they had to like make the UK connection there, you know, had taken his own life in jail. And that might have been driven to suicide by drug withdrawal. Shocking new TV documentary, blah, blah, blah. Dr. Michael Hunter said that it could have been complicated, could have been complicit in his death. By people deliberately ignoring clear signs that he was suicidal while in jail awaiting trial on child sex trafficking charges. Dr. Hunter has uncovered medical evidence suggesting that Epstein may have been a long-term abuser of steroids to build muscles and to boost his libido, and then became depressed when he could not get those drugs behind bars. What they don't, I mean, let's face it, Dave. Here in the States,
he was killed by the Illuminati.
Is that what it was?
Yes,
possibly.
Oh, God. And then they launched the T virus through 5G so they could change the batteries in the birds. I think that is potentially a very misleading news report.
well, okay. Possibly. I would say that by looking at his physique, I would not have, he was not suspect to me. Not saying that you couldn't like use gear and not be huge, or that's a reality for a lot of people, but.
I think his abuse will be the fact that he potentially has been using non-prescribed TRT.
Okay. But this does,
If you look at steroid use, technically anything that's not medically prescribed is abuse.
True.
So chances are he was running he's the right age for it. Running a bit of test. Yeah, might be running a bit more than he should, so a couple hundred mg a week. That's the thing is, even if you are going into prison and suddenly have your hormones crash because you're no longer got access to your TRT, and particularly if he was in a self-prescribed or dodgy doctor-prescribed situation, there's going to be no record. So he can't then say, I'm medically on TRT. He goes, no, you're not.
Yeah.
So you've then got that situation. I mean, I can't speak for the American prisons, but I suspect they'll be very similar to the UK ones, that things are incredibly slow to move and everything you say is generally regarded as a lie because you're just trying to angle it to get some drugs out of the doctors.
Oh. So yeah, because this brings up, I guess, a real true reality for a lot of people. If you are using drugs, if you are using steroids, and you go to jail, they're not gonna give you your DECA and your test, not to mention your TRT, at least not right away. And they certainly aren't gonna give you PCT meds either. So you're fucked, basically,
No.
right?
I've had this conversation. I don't do so much now, but I used to do quite a lot of work with the Scottish prison systems. We used to do a lot of steroid presentations and stuff like that. And we had a very long and in-depth conversation that was supposed to be moving up the chain of command about the fact that they had a confirmed 50% user rate in the open prison. So these are prisons where inmates get to go home, they go to a job, they've got access to the outside world. So obviously they've got access to drugs, to steroids.
So you're saying
And generally,
50% user rate is in steroids, not just like drugs, period, you're saying.
no, in steroids. And the
Wow.
reason being that the steroids weren't tested for by all other drugs were. So if they got caught using other drugs through a test, they were immediately sent back to closed conditions. If they didn't test for steroids, so it was much less likely they were going to get caught. But they still had problem accessing PCT meds and things like this. The open estate in Scotland is now only one prison. At the time, it was two prisons, but it's up in Dundee. It's in the middle of fucking nowhere, and as a result, access to drugs can be difficult. So what they were finding was that lads were really having problems,
I bet.
and there was a long discussion had about, could the prison legally provide a one-time PCT course
No kidding.
for new entries coming in? And it was very much recognized by the people I was speaking to that new entries into the prison system, particularly into closed conditions, if they've come off the street, then they could well be mid-cycle. They could well have just finished a cycle, and it's not uncommon for lads to say they're going on cycle because they want to be big because they're going into prison. To then be in prison with no access to the drugs, no access to PCT. Not only do they then have to adjust with the fact that they're now incarcerated and they're behind a closed door for 23 hours a day, they're now having to also deal with the fact that they have no hormone production and they've got a hormonal crash. And there's a relatively high suicide rate within the UK prisons. They have worked quite extensively over the last 10 years to rectify that, and try and offer more support for people that are struggling with their incarcerations. But the bottom line remains that even if you went into prison with medication or on a TRT script, you would probably find, it wouldn't surprise me if you went 3 months before your script was fulfilled.
That could be painful, man.
So if you coming in off the street on a cycle, you might find you never get your script fulfilled because you would struggle to get to the point where they would actually physically test you.
No kidding, man.
It's just not recognized. It's just not understood. It's just not recognized. There's just no acceptance of it.
Well, how would that work? I wonder how that would work for a woman that was using hormones. I mean, obviously, they're probably not going to continue your birth control, but I mean, there are women, say, that are using estrogen to balance their hormones out.
Well, there's HRT, the same as TRT. There's HRT.
Do they? I wonder if they
I'm not
recognize
sure.
that. Yeah.
I've never really dealt with it. I've only obviously access to male prisons, so I've never really dealt with it from a female perspective.
Yeah.
I don't know how much more accepting they are when it comes to female medication.
Yeah.
Obviously, if you're going to go in with a prescription, you can prove you've got a script. Then you've got more chance of getting something sorted.
Okay, yeah.
If you go in off the back of a cycle, you've got that whole rigmarole of proving you actually need it.
Yeah.
It's hard enough to get TRT when you're on the out, from your local GP.
Right.
That's a difficult exercise for most people anyway.
Yeah.
So add to the fact that you're now in prison. And you have to ask permission to see the doctor, and that can take a couple of weeks, and everything else that goes on when it's non-emergency. you know, it just makes the whole process much, much more drawn out.
Yeah. Story, moral of the story, don't go to jail, I think.
Or come off and do a PCT and make yourself right instead of running a cycle because you want to be big.
Yeah, that would be a mistake, I think. We've touched on that once before. So you're saying a lot of guys do that. I feel like the last thing I'd want to do is shut myself down, you know.
I have had guys message me asking me what cycle would they run to get big before they go to prison.
What would you suggest? Let's say I'm getting ready to go to the big house, Dave. What would you think would be the best way of preparing?
If you are on and you know, so say you've got a court case pending, you know you're looking at custodial and you've got a couple of months before you go down. I would start procedures with my GP and I would make sure I get letters of everything documented so that I can take them in with me when I go in.
Good point.
If you think you're going to get no support, then I would look at running Nebido. Because that's going to give you 10, 12 weeks where at least you can start the conversation in prison and try and get things moving.
That's a smart move, yeah.
So at least you've got 2-3 months of some hormonal support. Why you go to the doctor and say, look, I was a steroid user on the out.
Yeah.
I've stopped using. I mean, I remember one prison doctor used to pull me into the office. This was when I was actually in prison.
Yeah.
And asked me for steroid advice.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Huh.
He was mad. He used to talk to me about training. He was right into his training, and he used to talk. If I ever put a med request in to go see the doctor, I always got it granted.
Huh.
Because he just wanted to sit and talk to me about training and what drugs to take and when to take them.
Hey, I have another story here. This is something we were going to discuss previously. We didn't get around to it, so I just pulled it back up here. American athlete cleared of doping after eating beef with steroids. I know you've talked to somebody in this situation. His name is Jarian Lawson. He missed the 2019 season as a result of an initial ban. He's a long jumper. It says the Court of Arbitration of Sport confirmed on Monday it has overturned a 4-year ban imposed on American long jumper Jarian Lawson for a positive doping test caused by eating beef contaminated with steroids. The 2017 world champion silver medalist has announced Friday he can return to competition almost 20 months after his last event. He was unanimously cleared by 3 judges of any fault for the positive test. The court said the judging panel included traces of anabolic steroids were found in the June 2018 sample. The court said it was more likely than not the origin of the prohibited substance came from contaminated beef consumed in a restaurant the day before the test. He tested positive for the steroid trenbolone that can be used in the United States to promote the growth of cattle and beef. It is banned in farming in the European Union. Oh, it says...
Go on.
It says trenbolone formed part of the steroid mixture known as the Duchess cocktail developed in Russia and used by its athletes ahead of the 2014 Winter Olympics. Interesting side note there.
I've never heard of that Duchess cocktail. I'll have to look at that.
Yeah.
Right. I have actually looked at some studies about the hardiness of trenbolone metabolites.
Okay.
They are very resistant. It's even shown that trenbolone metabolites have got into the animal food chain through cow shit.
Wait, what?
That is then, basically, that metabolites are present in cow urine waste and cow shit.
Yeah.
Yeah? The metabolites leave their bodies through the shit and the piss.
Right, down at the earth.
Predominantly the piss, but that then soaks into vegetation.
I eat a carrot.
Animal eats the vegetation, and they found tren in rabbits. They found tren in wildlife.
Rabbits on tren, Dave. Rabbits on tren.
Well, They're not, because there's no active ingredient. It's the metabolite, so it's not doing anything.
Oh.
But the point is that I don't know enough about this individual case, but there is evidence to support that trend metabolites will pass into the food chain.
Dave, I was picturing jacked rabbits.
No, mate.
Ba-boom. I see what you're saying.
That would be like, you know, you drinking someone's piss who's on trend and expecting it to make you grow. Come on.
Yeah.
No, not happening, is it?
No, no. That would be funny, though.
But they have shown that it can enter the food chain. So is that, theoretically, it's possible? Is that the reality of this? I haven't got a fucking clue. For all I know, he could have been jacking up fucking one rip the week before. You know, but I do know the fact that they say, according to the article anyway, that they own, earlier on in the article, it mentions steroids.
Hmm.
It's plural. But then it says he tested only positive for trenbolone.
I think people just refer, my guess is that's what they, you know what I mean? Like, you tested positive for steroids. It's just maybe lack of understanding, you know what I mean?
The original part of the article sounded like they were discussing more than one compound, but then at the end of the article, they just state that it's just tren. So, yeah, it is viable. And you've also got to ask, would a long jumper take just tren?
I would think not, you know?
No, it doesn't really fit, does it?
No. I mean, I would expect, like, the things we've heard in the past about athletes in the Olympics, runners and stuff, would be more like a DHT, like a Winstrol, you know, something along those lines.
T-ball.
Yeah.
T-ball.
Yeah.
So, particularly when you also remember that tren is one of the nandrolone families, its metabolites hang around for a very long time.
Okay.
You know, it's very resilient. It's detectable for very high periods of time. It wouldn't be a drug you would choose if you were trying to hide your usage, particularly. I mean, the Russians just don't give a shit. They just rig the testing. So
yeah,
there's always the Russians' approach was, no, everybody takes steroids. We just put in false tests.
Right, right. Isn't that what we all do?
It's viable. I can't really say any more than that without more detail on dosings and levels that were found and everything else, but it's viable.
Huh. Hey, so I just did a little search on the Dutchess cocktail. This is interesting. So in the method of delivery is fucking very interesting. Get this. So during the 2012 London Games, the Russian Federation switched to its older doping program, which relied on drugs. Oh, by the way, when this went down, a bunch of athletes, how many did it say, implicated 1,000 athletes across a number of sports, and 118 mm-hmm. of them were banned from Rio 2016. Okay, so here we go. Back to topic on this, what they're doing. So the Russian, let's see, during the 2012 London Games, the Russian Federation switched back to its older doping program, which relied on drugs such as oral turinabol, to shorter-lasting Dutchess cocktail. The three main steroids comprise the Dutchess cocktail, Anavar, Primobolan, and Trenbolone. Now, here's where it gets interesting. Because the athletes absorbed the drug through swishing it in their cheeks rather than injection, the window of detecting the drug was shortened.
I've never heard of
it. Yeah, that's fucking interesting.
I mean, I know, like, certain, you know, test base, you can orally administrate test base and Winstrol base and stuff like that.
And Primo, they have oral Primo tabs.
Yeah, and obviously M-Tren was traditionally and originally a pellet. It was originally a tablet.
And I bet that they're going for that.
The injectable version of M-Tren came about through bodybuilding more than anything. But I'd never heard of that way of taking a drug. That's interesting. It's one thing I really want to I keep thinking, you know what? I really need to look at the doping side of how these drugs are administrated and how they get around the tests and the stuff they do. But it's something I've never really got to doing.
Yeah, I had heard. I talked to a guy. This was years ago now. Who was he did a lot of getting athletes ready in the Middle East for the IFBB Worlds, or I think it's IFBB Worlds.
That's tested.
And I guess from what I understand, one of the things that had been used, this is a decade ago now, was a medication for incontinence, and that would temporarily block the metabolites of steroids in the urine, so that with the right timing, you could bypass a test without, you could still urinate without passing the metabolites. It was like a decade Ooh. Plus ago, so I'm sure this is old news now.
Yeah, it's something I keep, you know, when it comes up every now and again, I think, well, you know what, I really could do with digging into that and finding out what there is going on.
But you're the guy who knows about all this stuff. Yes.
No, there's lots of things I don't know about. I tell you what I do know, though, that might be of a bit of novel interest.
What's that?
You're familiar with the IRA?
In Ireland?
Yes.
Yes, I am Irish, although I'm not involved.
Okay, you sure? Right, well, one of the revenue streams for funding for the IRA was steroid sales.
Really? No kidding.
Yeah. Huh. So when the IRA was very active back in the day, obviously it's not so much of a prominent issue these days, but when they were very active back in the day, one of the ways they, not a huge, but significantly enough to be mentioned, they used to sell steroids in order to raise funding for the organization.
I'll be damned. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
There was a Middle Eastern chain of restaurants here in Michigan called Lashish, and they were closed down. Allegedly, they were funneling money to Al-Qaeda, though they did have a freaking amazing shish tawouk sandwich. It's the truth. But yeah,
I don't even know what that is.
No? No? Chicken shawarma? Do you know that one?
Well, that's obviously chicken, but I don't know what the dish is. I'm not very good on these sort of things.
I think you guys would call it like a kebab,
right,
kebab sandwich.
I do know what kebab is. Yes.
Kebab. Do you say kebab or kebab?
Kebab.
Kebab. All right, guys.
K E B A B. So why would it be Bob? It's Bab.
Bab. But kebab.
Kebab.
All right, guys. We'll be back in just a minute. We got a bunch of steroid questions. Hey, what's up, guys? First of all, I want to say thank you to everybody for listening to another podcast here at the Advices Radio Network. It's much appreciated. Thank you to everybody who has given us reviews over at iTunes and subscribed over at the Think Big YouTube page, and anything else you can do to help get the word out about the podcasts that we are creating, the messages that you've sent. Guys, that stuff is all so appreciated. I really do thank you for it. It makes my day. And second, thank you to everybody who has been shopping with True Nutrition and using our code ADVICES, because their sponsorship is a big part of what allows me to have the time to put these podcasts together and record them and all that goes into putting out, you know, 3, 4, 5 programs a week. So thank you guys. I much appreciate it. And listen, guys, there hasn't been a better time than now to have supplemental protein available. With all of the craziness that we have going on at the grocery store, there isn't as much certainty as there once was, being able to buy, you know, a dozen cartons of eggs at once. They think you're a hoarder, but in reality, you're just trying to get through your week as a bodybuilder. You know, it does pay to have some good high quality protein on hand. And you can do that with our great sponsor, TrueNutrition.com. I've been shopping with True Nutrition long before they sponsored our program. I believed in them since I've been serious into bodybuilding. I suggest their whey protein isolate specifically to all of my contest prep clients. They have a ton of great products, tons of great proteins. And like I said, by using their code, that directly helps us. I know that there's a lot of different codes out there for a lot of different companies, and there's kind of like these faux sponsorships. Well, this is legit how I make my money so that I can continue doing this. So thank you for shopping with True Nutrition and using our code ADVICES. They are a great company that I believe in, and I am grateful that True Nutrition believes in us. All right, guys, what's up? We are back, Drugs and Stuff, with Dave Crossland. I'm Scott McNally. By the way, if you want to reach out to Dave, go over to his website, crosslands.org.uk. We have a bunch of bodybuilding questions here, including some questions on the live feed. So let's go to those. I'm not even sure what we have here, so I'm just going to take them as they come. Let's see. Just curious, from a gear perspective, how should a 50-plus competitor approach a contest prep cycle, or is there a point based on age that the potential side effects would not be worth going above TRT levels?
More health than age.
Okay.
There are plenty of 50-year-olds that are much healthier than 30-year-olds, and so it would more be a fitness and health thing. The only obviously big impact is that when you get to a certain age, or as you age, should I say, your ability to grow muscle, even with steroids, diminishes.
Yeah, I could see that.
You're not, you know, if you're starting life at 50, you're not going to create a Rami physique. You're just not. It's not going to happen. Doesn't matter how many drugs you take. You're not going to be able to grow to that extent.
Yeah.
Because not only are your hormones in decline, which you can replace with steroids and increase with steroids, but all your other bodily functions are in decline. You're getting older. Everything's starting to show and feel its age.
Yeah.
So with regards, I mean, it'd be, my approach would be the same for any age, is the bare minimum necessary.
Yeah.
And one thing, if you are older, so if you are in your 50s and you've had quite a long-term competitive career, the chances are that muscle mass you have is very well established.
Yeah.
So you're actually not going to need huge amounts of drugs to come into a show with, because it's there. It's been there for donkey's years. It's not going anywhere. You know, it's not going to suddenly drop off you.
Yeah.
Rather than a young lad who's packed 30-40 pounds on in his off season, now going into his show, his body's not used to carrying that. It's going to be much more happy to release that tissue, rather than someone that's been sitting at 240 pounds for the last 15 years.
Yeah, and further, man, I think that, like, do you really need that much? I feel what I've seen is a lot of the younger guys, and I had been victim to this, and you know, myself in the past. We're competitive, right? So you think to yourself, like, well, maybe I should take a little bit more. But in reality, I've since learned that you can get away with a lot less and still be very successful. Like, you're only going to, I remember hearing this from a good friend of mine who's a very well-known coach. And this was two preps ago. He was like, I was like, hey, should I up the trend? I was like, maybe 4 or 5 weeks out. And he said, listen, you're already hard. You can only get so much harder.
Yes.
That's the only thing that trend's going to do for you right now. It's going to make you look cosmetically harder, you know, but you can only take that so far. And that the key of that is obviously having done the work to get lean enough, right? You know, done the right diet, done enough cardio, you know, if you need cardio in your diet, whatever, however you have your system set up, but basically doing what it takes to do the work to get lean. And then those drugs are going to only take, they're going to be a cosmetic advantage. Yes. But they can only do so much, you know. Once you get shredded, you're shredded. So whether you took 400 trend or 700, it doesn't matter.
I think the more important thing as you age is how you approach your training. I think that's where the big changes make. I've just started working with a guy, 50s pro. Nice little physique, actually.
Nice.
And we've just taking his training from a completely different angle.
Yeah.
Very, very alien to what he's used to. But his body is really responding. And this is at 50 plus.
What did you guys change?
We just focus more on engagement, drop the heavier stuff, put a little bit in there just to keep the butt, you know, really try to increase the intensity of the workouts rather than increase the weight of the workouts.
Be smarter.
So, yeah, just boxing it a lot smarter. He's got a lot of knee problems anyway, which limit what exercises he can do there. Mm. But it's been much more and very much increased the frequency.
Okay.
So rather than heavy loads, you know, and hitting some heavy ones, we've pushed much more frequency in there. Mm. And he's responded beautifully, absolutely beautifully. So, I mean, if all goes according to plan, he'll be standing on stage 7-8 pounds heavier than he'd ever done.
Nice.
Which at 50 year old is quite a decent achievement.
Oh, well, yeah. Let's see here.
Yeah, I would say not so much in the drugs, but more in the way you approach your training is going to be the thing, because most of your muscle mass is going to be fairly well established.
All right. Next question is from James. Ooh, I've got some stuff on this one. Because I can relate on a personal level. It says, do either of you train or prep anyone in the construction field? If so, does that line of work make it difficult to bodybuild? I'm switching from a desk job into construction. I'm assuming your body will take a hit at first, but eventually adjust to it and everything will be back to normal.
Go on, you got personal, so okay. You fire away.
Yeah, so, you know, I worked for the pop company for a number of years. It was a very physical job, you know, breaking down pallets, building pallets, you know, a lot of weight, pulling pallets across the floor all day long with a broken, rusty jack that sucked. Sometimes it really sucked, especially in the summer when it was hot. Here's the difference. You're going to need a lot more food. Whatever it takes for you now at a desk job, you're going to need a lot more food. Dave, I could not get fat. And I mean, I already have a fast metabolism, but I was eating so much a day and then still eating junk food on top of it and staying, like, I couldn't do anything but stay lean. I would grow, but I stayed lean. Hold on a sec. And I'm going to also add the other thing is, B, you got to watch out, because I had more repetitive use injuries from lifting shit, shoulder issues, tendonitis in my elbows, because I was pushing at work and then pushing at the gym. So there are going to be some definite changes, and I never adjusted to it. I could say I never adjusted. It was always difficult compared to now, where I sit here and talk to Dave Crossland all day. It's a breeze. Look at me, I haven't gained anything, but I am not pushing to gain size either at this point. So, but it has been easier to grow muscle sitting at a desk than it definitely is moving around. What was your thought, Dave?
The upping the calories as well. Just bear in mind that really the only calories you need to up are your carbs. Mm. You don't need to start shoving shitloads extra protein in there. You will only start sacrificing protein if your carbs aren't high enough. So because you're burning more calories, your carbohydrate will need to be higher. That there is no denying. The other thing you then need to do is look at the stimulus that the work you do provides for you. Mm. So you may find that if you're doing a very repetitive job that's not particularly intense, but is still physical, that effectively that's a very high volume, high rep workout.
Yeah.
So to counter that, you would do a very heavy, very intense, very short workout.
Yeah, I like that.
You'd look at something like HIIT training. This might mean that you're only training physically in weights 2 or 3 times a week.
Yeah.
Because you have to work with your recovery ability. So what you would do is you would look at, you know, what physical exercise you're doing at work. How often are you moving very extreme weights, or is it generally moderate weight but just lots of repetitions with it, and then do the opposite when it comes to your training.
Yeah.
So if you had a job that was very max effort in any load you moved, so it might be that 30 times a day you were shifting the most amount of weight your body could cope with for whatever your role was, and that's probably an unusual job to do that, but just for argument's sake,
yeah,
then I wouldn't look at heavy training. Because you're going to fry your central nervous system. So what I would do is I'd look at high volume training. Or you know, that style of opposite training. And the same, so if you're doing a very high repetition work, if you're on a building site, you're running up and down ladders all day, you're shoveling cement all day, it's hard graft, but at no point are you really moving maximum load.
Yeah.
So then from a training point of view, I'd look at 3 days a week, maximum load, very short duration workouts, very high intensity workouts, and eat. And like you say, when you're in that sort of calorie burn, you may find that you can literally eat anything you fucking want.
Dave, I couldn't get fat, man. Like, I mean, it would, no. My contest prep.
I bet you tried, didn't you?
Yeah, my contest prep. I just have to, you know, just take out McDonald's and that would be the start. All of a sudden I've got veins in my abs. I found too, with my fast metabolism, I needed fats. That I needed fats to slow it down at a certain point. Otherwise, the more I could, you know, eat two cups of rice or whatever per meal, and that it would still just burn right through me. But the fats helped to slow it down. Or using like beef. Beef is obviously, there are some fats there, but it tended to digest a little bit slower. So that definitely helped too.
Can I, by the way, talking about McDonald's, is McDonald's closed over there?
I wouldn't know, honestly. I wouldn't know. I wonder.
No, they've closed them all over it.
All of them are closed?
Yeah.
Huh, no kidding. I wonder. I'm going to find out right now. Let's see. Hold on a minute.
Who are you ringing?
McDonald's. You asked.
Thank you for calling McDonald's. How can we help you?
Oh, hey, I was just calling to check to see if you guys are still open.
Oh, absolutely. Drive-through, 24 hours, dining room, you have to come in and take out.
Okay, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Okay.
Bye. There you go, Dave.
No, that's how we started, and then they closed them.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I believe they're fully closed now.
Hmm.
Watch me be wrong on this. No, I'm sure they are. I'm sure they're fully closed now. Yes, they are. What the boss is saying, yes, they are.
There was something else I was going to say about this construction question. Oh, you know what else I found? I planned my back day on Wednesday because I had Wednesdays off. And then I planned my leg day on Saturday because we never got deliveries on Saturday. So Saturday was like a light day at work. That way I could always, I could split those 2 days off, first of all. And they were my 2 days I knew I was going to exert the most effort. And so I had to plan my training around, because it sucks, man. When you're beat, you had a long work day and then you got to go in and train legs and you're like half dehydrated. You know, that's like, that was a big adjustment that I had to work around versus one of the benefits of the desk job, or even really my job in general, is that you can train anytime, you know, whatever is ultimately best for you. So working around physical labor is tougher.
That's the other thing as well, training timing. You may find it's more effective, like you said, training off the back of rest days, training off the back of days off work, where you knew had late days at work, and also maybe training first thing in the morning.
Yeah, I have a guy who does that.
Before work.
Yeah.
Before work. So there's little things like that. You may also find that you have to start not training arms.
Oh, yeah.
And just stick to hands for arm stimulus and things like that as well, you know, and go more compound movements for more muscle groups in one hit if you find the calorie spend is just too high for you to get back in food.
Yeah. Yeah, I can tell you, man, I feel like I feel like if you have a job like that, it is going to be harder for some people to make progress. And I feel like, you know, we are, to an extent, we are in control of what we do for a living. You know, you got to take a construction job. It's life, right? That's what might be best for you. But, you know, if you find that you can't grow with that and bodybuilding is important enough, then it, you know, the guy who loves bodybuilding the most is going to, you know, figure out a way to either make it work or find a new job, you know?
I remember I used to work in artificial stone. So literally all I did all day was shovel sand and gravel.
You know, too, you're the big guy. So I bet when there was like a heavy thing at work, they're like, let's have Dave do it.
This is no exaggeration. Okay. You may think this is bullshit. It is not. In 1 week, I shoveled over 60 ton of sand and gravel every week.
60 ton. Every week.
Every week. Because what we did was we had a delivery every week of white sand, builder's sand, and two deliveries a week of gravel.
Okay.
We would then put 2-3 wheelbarrows worth of gravel in a big hopper, throw in 2 bags of cement, a little bit of water, mix that up as a backing mix for artificial stone. And then we'd put a wheelbarrow in a mixer. So you'd shovel it into the mixer, then you'd shovel it back out, drop it on the floor, on the casting floor. And we did that all day long.
Oh, yeah, I bet you moved 60 tons.
10 hours a day, 6 days a week, that's what you did. All you did was shovel.
How was your lower back with that?
First 2-3 weeks, crippled.
Yeah,
absolutely crippled. And then it got used to it, like a lot of things do. And you just had to adjust the way you did it. You know, you had to make sure you kept your chest lifted when you bent over and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, gains were hard. Training was hard.
I bet.
Like you said, never been as lean and fit in my life.
We'll send you back there. Send you back there when it's time to diet down.
Oh, God, no.
All right. Hope that helps you out, James. And it looks like we had some people. Matt Spina jumped in. He's got a construction job, so he gave him some advices as well. Let's see here. We have a bunch more questions. Next one we'll go to. What do we got? Anything good here?
Scott?
Yeah.
Why is it advices radio and not advice radio?
You ever see a movie called Pumping Iron?
I sort of heard of it, yeah.
Well, that's what there's a guy in that movie. He was a bodybuilder. His name was Arnold.
Was in that movie.
Yeah, there was a guy named Arnold that was in that movie, and he was talking about giving it. I would put the clip in, but it would demonetize our video, which is probably demonetized anyway because we're talking about drugs. But and he says to about his friend Franco Colombo. He says, "I give him." He said, "You know, we'll get a hotel together, but the day before the show, and he comes to me for advices." And it's not too hard for me to give him the wrong advice.
Is that where you took it from?
Yeah. Advices radio. You're just now getting that, Dave.
I never even entered my brain. It never even entered my brain. And then you just said it then, advices. And I was like, why is it advices radio and not advice radio?
That's it's a throwback. And there's only a select few people that get it. That's why I renamed the video channel Think Big, because that make Think Big bodybuilding is a little bit more straight on of a hit, you know, versus it's a little bit on the chin, you know.
It's an obscure reference, you've got to admit.
All right, we talked about it. It is.
That's proper nerd shit, is that?
Why do so many? Oh. Dave is going to tear this one up. Why do so many people use EQ in the off season?
I don't know.
You hate EQ.
I don't hate EQ. I just think there's better drugs. It's a lot of people get on with it. A lot of people report it gives them a good appetite. So hence you can understand why they'd use it in the off season. Apart from the blood value side of things, it's not particularly harsh. Obviously its initial impact. I mean, it was a trend for a while of front loading EQ and then dropping it out so that you got a nice RBC elevation early on in the cycle, which would increase your nutritional transit for the rest of the cycle. But take the blood values to one side, and as a drug in other ways, it's generally fairly mild from a stress point of view on the body. I say a lot of people report huge increases in appetite with it, which obviously is beneficial in off season. Personally, I just don't like it. I find it a bit of a non-entity.
Yeah.
I think, and the thing is, when you look at the new numbers on it all, it's a fair comparison to Deca. It really is. But I've always found Deca to be much more productive.
I was talking to EQ the other day, text message. And EQ said to me, "Who's Dave Crossland?"
That would not surprise me. I think most people say that, to be quite honest.
Except for our 6 viewers here. You guys are awesome.
Well, our 6 followers. And the 7 that I've got on my own page. Cheers, guys.
All right, let's see here. I don't know if
I need to put some content out as well.
I don't know if we can answer this one directly. Like, it just, there's so many variables. This is one of those questions where I think Dave will say, "How long is a piece of string?" or some weird British saying like that. 225 pounds wants to become 250 pounds without going above 25% body fat, or without going above 20% body fat. He's 35 years old, 5'11", 20 years of lifting. What kind of timeline do you think that would take?
So 25 pounds.
Yeah, 25 pounds, and he's already 225.
Come and see me. I'll do it you in 4 months. There you go.
He's going to stay under
20%? Easy.
What's the answer there, Dave? Just you got to eat.
If you've got to train.
Yeah.
There's no point eating if you're not training. You know,
so the stimulus is the important thing.
To me, yeah, it always has been. The food is important, and I think a lot of people fail to realize how much they can eat.
Yeah.
And a lot of people struggle with the eating because the eating is every day, and it's every hour of every day, and it's boring and it's tedious, and no one wants to sit in the off-season eating chicken and fucking rice.
Yeah.
But if you want to get big and stay lean, then you've got to eat clean. That's almost like a little rhyme. Yeah,
that
is a little
did.
Rhyme. Yeah, there you go, a little rhyme for you. if you want to get big and lean, you got to eat clean. New catchphrase.
Yeah,
but
we can have people repeat that in the audience.
Yeah, like, it's
if
just
you want to eat big.
It is possible, but it's hard, and it's not that it can't be done. It's that for most people, that level of effort into what for most is just a hobby,
yeah,
it's just not measured up for them. You know, if you're really pushing hard, you're going to be sore every day. Mm. And you're never not going to be sore. And you're just about going to recover in a body part before you're hitting it again.
Were you that way during under construction?
Constantly sore.
Yeah? Okay.
Constantly sore.
Were you sore going back into a muscle group? Like chest is sore and you're still training it or what?
Occasionally.
Yeah.
Occasionally. Yeah. Because the muscle soreness isn't always. The muscle soreness is a great mental stimulus for the fact that you feel like you've pushed hard enough to stimulate growth.
Okay.
But it isn't the exact. It isn't necessarily a sign of recovery.
And you gained how much weight between the beginning to the end of UC1?
7 months, 65 pounds.
And that was from what to what?
300 to 365.
Fuck. And a lot of that was muscle.
Yeah, there was fat. There's no design.
In water, but there was muscle. There was a lot of muscle. Like, you looked hard still.
Even a worst case estimation would have been 30 pounds. Worst case estimation.
Which is ridiculous amount of muscle to grow.
I would have said probably near 35 to 40.
Okay.
You know, it is viable. But it is hard. It's very hard. I mean, in quite literally, stick him on insulin and growth hormone for 6 weeks and he'll be 20 pound heavier and he'll have a shitload of glycogen and water in his muscle. There you go.
Yeah.
Job
yeah.
done. You know, it's there's all sorts of ways you can cheat this as well, but don't believe these things aren't achievable because you're going to stop yourself from achieving there straight away.
Going into UC1, how primed were you for this? Like, were you off gear when you started that cycle, or where were you going into that? Because I also feel like sensitivity to gear is another thing. If this guy hasn't come off, he's been cycling doses, not really taking too much of a break, and now all of a sudden he wants to use that same amount to grow, you know, it's going to be less likely.
6 weeks, I think.
Okay, so you just had 6 weeks off of everything.
Yeah, I came off the back of a comp diet, so I was primed for growing.
Okay. Yeah.
And now I wasn't comp shape. I was still quite a bit out.
But you had dieted down.
But I had dieted down. And the thing is, for the last few months of that diet, I wasn't really progressing much. And I constantly felt like, this probably sounds stupid, but I constantly felt like I wanted to grow.
Mm.
I felt, this sounds daft, but I felt like my strength was way down. My one thing that goes very quickly with me when I'm dieting is strength. So my strength was down. I was doing more high volume work to sort of mask the fact that my strength was down so it didn't fry my head.
Yeah.
But I just got this gut feeling, if I eat now, I'm going to explode.
Yeah.
And I just got so frustrated because the diet wasn't progressing and I was genuinely trying. I was genuinely sticking to my diet. I was genuinely doing my cardio. And I was actually a bit leaner than I realized. But and so I ended up, I just thought, bollocks to this. Came off, cleared out, took 6-7 weeks off, and then started prepping. Well, I started prepping as soon as I was off the PCT. I started prepping, getting ready for the project. pick that was going to become UC One.
Okay. Because, yeah, I feel like that's an important aspect too, you know. Yeah, I feel like coming off the diet, you're going to stand to make a lot more progress, right?
I mean, I do it with a lot of people off season. I will diet them down first. I'll give them 3-4 weeks yes. of a tight diet before. So, you know, straight away, get on a diet, 3-4 weeks hard, very hard diet. Don't ease into it like you do with comp prep. Hit it hard, hit it fast, and then reverse diet out the back of that. Bring the training up, drop into a cycle, and you will grow. And you can grow a lot more than people realize. People limit themselves all the time. I mean, you know, it was supposed to become part of the catchphrase for the film. It never really took off, but it's like, don't set limits, find them. And I genuinely believe that.
Don't what?
You know, if you set limits, find them.
Oh, yeah.
If you go in with a preconceived idea, I can only put 10 pounds on, then it's like, that's all you're going to do. If you go in, I can put 50 on. No, you probably won't, but you put more than 10 on.
Yeah.
I don't agree with these. People can do, we've seen it in the pro ranks. We've seen pros disappear after 1 year, come back late in the next season. Absolute monsters packing 30, 40 pounds more than they have done in the past.
Yeah.
It's doable even at that level if you can put the effort in. So, yeah, you know, in realistic terms, 6 months to a year, more than viable if you put your head down and graft.
You would be also, too, if you can do that, you would be a different bodybuilder. Like, you would be a different looking human being from 225 to 250, you know? Like,
without
same body fat or similar, you know?
Yeah, I mean, you know, you're probably going to put, if you do a shout hard cut beforehand, you expect to put 5 or 6% of body fat on.
Yeah.
It's going to happen. But then once you get to that weight, you can maintain and recomp it slowly over time.
Yeah.
And everything will start to tighten up nice and steady. I mean, that's where I got to at the end of UC1 was I wasn't making any more progress, but it was all starting to recomp a little bit.
Yeah. I like that, man. It gives me, you know, gives me hope when I hear stuff like that. And I feel like we need to have that belief and that faith. I feel like nowadays in bodybuilding, there's so many people that are knocking mass monsters and so many people who aren't even trying. In some cases, I think that people are afraid to try. You know, in some cases, people want to say like, oh, no, I don't want to get too big. You know what I mean? They're like, oh, I just want a pleasing physique. And yeah, there is some reality to that. But I mean, at the same time, man, I feel like sometimes people are cutting themselves short.
I do, definitely. The most I've ever had a client put on in 14 weeks was 22 kilos.
That's a lot of weight.
And he didn't gain tons and tons of mass. I've got the pictures.
Yeah.
But I'll try and remember to send them over to you.
Yeah, please do. I'd like to see that.
He didn't gain tons and tons of fat. He still looked what he looked like a bodybuilder. He looked in reasonable condition for off season.
Yeah.
So it is doable, but it's never going to be doable if you don't believe in it in the first place.
All right. Go to one more question here. Back to drugs. Is taking 1,000 milligrams of test, if taking 1,000 milligrams of test, is it okay that your estrogen is high because you're on exogenous test?
Depends how high. Estrogen is a very important and very influential growth factor. There is no denying that. It helps support healthy cholesterol levels in the liver. It has a lot of benefits, but obviously we also know it has a lot of negatives.
Sure.
The obvious ones being gyno, water retention. Overly increased water retention is going to put strain on the heart. And we've also got to look at an increase in fat deposits. You know, high estrogen levels are going to create more fat deposits, particularly around the hips and the waist and those sort of areas.
Yeah.
But it does make you grow as well. So it's about a bit of a balancing act between where your estrogen is, how well you tolerate it as an individual, and how much it negatively impacts your physique moving forward. So, for argument's sake, and this is going to make you laugh, Guess how much estrogen control I was on in UC when I was running 2.5 gram a test.
Well, I know you don't like AIs if you don't need to use them. So, assuming you took some 1,000 milligrams a test, and I know you don't like AIs.
Two point five grams a test.
2,500 milligrams a test. I don't know, man. I couldn't even fathom. Like, I mean, I would imagine. I would imagine somebody was taking, we'll say at least, we'll say a milligram every other day.
None
at all. And you didn't need it, huh?
Don't get gyno. Never have. I got a bit of water retention, yes. Yeah. I got a bit of excess fat deposit, but my diet was super, super clean.
Now, don't try that at home, kids. That might be.
No, it may, I am a bit of a freak with certain things when it comes to gear. I'm not for one second saying that this is something I recommend.
Yeah.
But my diet was boiled beef, boiled chicken, rice, porridge, protein shakes. That was it. So I didn't gain tons of fat off the higher estrogen because I didn't have the calories in set up in a way where I was going to do. But what I did do was grow. So estrogen has its benefits, but it is a trade-off, and you've got to play a balanced game. So you've got to understand how your body's reacting,
and
you've got to understand where your levels are. I tolerate it incredibly well. I always have done. Some people, as soon as they go over 200 nmol, they're in a real mess, and they're having all sorts of problems. So it is very much down to the individual. Yes, I would allow your estrogen to elevate. No, I wouldn't let it get out of control. And just watch and listen to what your body's telling you. Generally speaking, I would run estrogen in somebody. If I didn't know somebody and I didn't know how they were going to react, I would look at running estrogen around the 140, topping out no more than 200.
Okay.
That would be my general. Most people are keep around the 140 mark. I would not run people down in the 40s and 70s and 80s like a lot of people like to be, because that's going to severely restrict your progress. The only time I would look at running lower levels is comp, when you're trying to lose body fat. So I would run estrogen a lot lower going into a comp prep, or if someone had a particular problem with estrogen sensitivity, which does occur, obviously.
I did find one more. I forgot about this one. This is a question that wasn't directly posted to us, but it was posted in the advices group. And I think this would qualify as a Dear Davey question.
Yay!
You saw this one posted because we both commented on it. This is from Lisa. She says, hi, y'all. She must be from the South, maybe.
Hello.
I was,
is that racist?
Y'all. No, it's just we don't say that here in Michigan and Detroit, y'all. It's more of a maybe.
Is that a statist then?
Statism, yes.
Yes.
I was wondering whether the neurological changes from PEDs could impact the way your partner feels about you, change their feeling, or the other way around, not being attracted to your partner anymore. I think meaning if they're on PEDs and you're not attracted to them. I hope you understand the question. Thanks in advance.
Well, let's actually look at it both ways, because there are definitely effects both ways.
Yeah.
We know that there are issues in the brain with gear in affecting serotonin levels and affecting dopamine levels and depression and such like. But it's, I think, really, so you taking PEDs could definitely affect how you feel about yourself and how you feel about your partner. And hormone imbalances could definitely affect your sexual drive towards a partner.
Sure.
But more, I think this is what the psychological and mental approach is to taking the drugs and to investing that time in your physique. When people invest time in their physique and when people invest time in their physique through drug use, their physique becomes much more important to them.
Sure.
That can, not in every case, that can carry off to you then starting being judgmental about your partner's physique.
Mm.
Some people don't give a shit about it, and it doesn't matter because that's not what they're bothered about with their partners. Others can. And you will have seen it time and time again where somebody in a relationship with somebody whose physique improves significantly,
yeah,
they then break in that relationship and end up with a partner that's also into the gym.
Yeah.
Because their attraction becomes more important to them because they're so focused on their own achievements. That becomes much more important in their life. And so the physique of the person they're with becomes much more important in their life.
And you know what, too? I think, and I'll speak to this personally. I've personally felt like, as far as choosing a mate goes, I haven't necessarily been attracted to somebody who has muscle, but I have been attracted to a partner that has the same values as me and is, you know, has been into fitness. Dave's talking, yeah. Dave's talking to Mrs. Crossland. Are you getting your answers from Mrs. Crossland right now?
I don't know what I'm getting from Mrs. Crossland at the moment. My eyes gone funny, apparently. The other thing as well is that a partner can find that increased interest in the way their partner looks. So I probably didn't explain that very well. So female and male,
yeah.
Male gets into the gym. Male's physique improves.
Yeah.
Female partner starts to get insecure. Male physique's now getting more attention.
I've seen this, yeah.
Female partner gets insecure. Male's now spending more time in the gym, less time with partner. Female partner gets jealous.
Yeah.
Female partner can also get into, and this could be male or female, so don't start all the women fucking writing in and saying, you twat, it's not all those women that are insecure. Sure. It goes both ways.
Absolutely.
In fact, it's probably harder for a man to cope with than it is for a female to cope with.
Oh, yeah. If their girlfriend starts, like, if she was a 7 and now she's a 9, you know, hey,
yeah.
Hey, look out, you know. And now all these buff guys at the gym are hitting on her.
And you've got a bit of a pot belly and, you know, you're a bit out of shape.
Yeah.
So when somebody improves their physique, it can make the partner feel very insecure.
Sure.
Not only within their relationship with the person, but also in their selves of how they feel about their own physique.
Yeah.
So then they start looking at their own physique and go, well, why would it be interesting to me? I look like a sack of shit.
Mm.
That person then doesn't feel attractive. That person then's no longer going to have a sex drive or because they're going to feel unattractive.
Yeah.
The other side of that is you egotistical, self-absorbed prick, all you do is spend time in front of the fucking mirror or down the gym. What about me? So the other split of that is that a partner can be perfectly confident in themselves and just get fed up because the partner now, who's now using gear, is much more dedicated to their physique and what it takes to achieve their physique. And as a result, they start to neglect that partner.
Yeah.
So there's both sides of this. You can mix in many, many ways, but there is chemical interactions within the brain that will change about how somebody looks upon their partner, both hormonally and chemically within the brain through neurotransmitters. There is also how someone can act when they're on PEDs that can become unattractive to a partner.
Sure. Or more attractive. Hey, all of a sudden he's more assertive, you know?
He's more of a man.
Yeah.
Or she's more assertive in the bedroom, and some men find that a massive turn-on.
Yeah.
So there's all sorts of things that can play into this. It's a very complex subject matter. But just the process of investing in the way you look physically can cause problems in relationships. Particularly if only one partner's into it.
Yeah, flat out. If you get into a relationship with somebody, and especially if, no matter what, you're going to change, you're changing the dynamic, right? Like you start a relationship in one place, you both continue to grow. And if one person gets into fitness, one person, that's, they're altering, you know, who they are in an extent, you know, their interests and stuff change. And then you add drugs on top of that. These things are all going to change the dynamic. And that's what I think we're talking about here. Are you going to continue growing together, you know?
It depends on the individuals, doesn't it?
Yeah.
But like we said in many of these clips, it boils down to communication and honesty.
Yeah.
And if you have to be able to communicate and be honest, but what users are particularly bad at doing is accepting criticism.
Yeah.
But that's with anything. If you invest a large amount of both money and time into any project, be it building a barn or a shed or a something in the garden, or building a car, or building a model, or being a good darts player, you're then going to be much more sensitive to criticism.
Sure, sure. You put care about it.
Because you've got so much effort into it.
Yeah.
So you become much more sensitive to criticism as somebody who trains. Now, it might not be criticism of your physique, but criticism of the amount of time you spend on your physique, or criticism of the amount of time you're now spending on clothes or beauty products or whatever it may be, because you're now hyper aware of the way you look.
Yeah. Yeah, I could see that changing. I mean, I'm all for my partner to be, to build their self-esteem and improve their lives. But if it got to the point where, like, all of a sudden she's posting semi-naked pictures on social media and, you know what I mean, and like, taking compliments from all sorts of random guys, it's like, you know,
that's slightly different again, though, because that starts to become a betrayment of the relationship in any standard.
Right. And, but what I guess I'm saying is that these are all things like changes in dynamics, where another guy, he might be like, hey, that makes me feel good. That I have this beautiful woman who can post these thong bathing suit or thong, you know, lingerie pictures online, and she's fucking smoking hot, and I date her. It's like, for one guy, that may be an attractive thing. For another guy, it might be a turnoff, you know?
Yeah, I can see that. I mean, for me, it's definitely a turnoff. It's not something but that's not to do with, I find it disrespectful in both parts, that
sure,
for them themselves. And I don't knock people that do it, and I don't knock people that, you know, that's your choice, it's your life, this is just how I personally feel about it.
But if you got into a relationship with a person that didn't do that and then they started doing it, you know,
there is definitely a difference between a progress shot and an insta-ho shot. A progress shot doesn't have sexual connotations, obviously an insta-ho shot does.
I've seen your insta-ho pictures, Dave.
You leave my Instagram pictures out of this. You're not, they're private. I just send them you. I don't send them anyone else. No one else sees them.
I posted them in the advices group.
That wouldn't surprise me. You're that sort of evil type of person. But yeah, you know, even if you don't go down that road, just the people, the fact that people are visualize or seem to be improving the way they look,
yeah,
it can change how the partner feels about themselves, which in turn can change how they interact with that person, both physically and emotionally.
Fair enough.
Because you can, I mean, I've seen relationships break down. I'm a Facebook stalker. I've got a hobby of psychology and anthropology and people's behavior. So
yeah.
I've seen people where they've over a year or 18 months or even sometimes longer, changed their physique and done very, very well with their physique and created a, you know, an admirable physique. But at the same time, I've seen it at the cost of their relationship with their partner.
Mm.
And it has ultimately failed their relationship with their partner. And lo and behold, their new partner is equally as physique conscious.
Yeah. And then that becomes down the road when one of them one of them loses interest in the sport, you know, in their, then what happened? It's always a changing dynamic, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, I'm lucky in my relationship because my wife loves me for me.
Yeah.
Or should I say, she puts up with me for me. She supported me in my stupid endeavors, even though she didn't particularly like it. Particularly when it started getting to the real naughty end of things. But you know, our relationship is based on a mutual love for each other, for who we are. And obviously, yeah, looks play an element to that, but it isn't based on that.
Yeah.
It's based on who we are. I'm getting dirty looks now. That's a nice thing to say. Don't give me dirty looks. I am attracted to you, but I also love you for you, irrespective. I like your personality, however awful it is. Yes. The fact that you're an absolute bitch and all the rest of it. Yes, ooh. That's it. See? She's laughing now.
Oh.
No, she knows what I mean by that. That was a compliment, mate. She's laughing now. My missus has a hobby of burning things down. She likes, she's got obsessions with wanting to burn things down.
Yeah, I have a feeling you're going to be burned down after this show's over.
Oh, no, that was fine. Oh, that bit was fine. It's more If someone pisses her off, she always wants to go and burn their house down or burn the shop down or burn the business down.
Should I not be recording this right now? You realize we're still alive, right?
I won't let her do it. I keep telling her she can't. She's not allowed to.
Well, I think I hope that this helps her. And I think you're right. Down to communication. Let's get out of here, Dave. I think we managed to get through another episode of Drugs and Stuff.
Yes, my friend.
All right, guys, for another episode of Drugs and Stuff with Dave Crossland. Once again, head on over to his website, crosslands.org.uk, and check out our sponsor, TrueNutrition.com. We will see you next time.
Bye.